We good?
Okay, I gotta check it. Okay.
Oh, which takes a minute. Okay, I see what that's up. So we got audio. Let me see if I can share it. Always stuff. Okay, I had to mute. Oh, they have took that away. Oh well.
At least we have audio today. I hope we have audio. If Lord's watching, she can tell us we got audio.
Did was share it to the church page, and they took that option away from me. Can't do it. Anyway, I'm glad that you guys got to come out, and I know all y'all know what's going on, and we'll talk about that more, but you know, sometimes people don't want to come out and they think, oh, well, it's a time of tragedy. To me, that's when we meet. You know, that's when you want church people around you, you know, to draw strength from. And so I don't want to hide in a corner. I want to be here. So that's one of the reasons. And, you know, it's, I don't want to sound callous or nothing, but you know, you have your moments. We'll talk about it more, but you know, you get raw and wounded and all that stuff, and you know, you deal with it in spots, and you cry and you laugh and you do all of those things. Some of you know, first time I ever lost a parent, I kind of ticked at Mom. She wasn't supposed to leave. I was telling her last night, daggone, you're hide, you promised me you wouldn't leave me. Kind of brings around the feelings of the Lord Jesus, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's the only one that can really make that promise and see it through. But, yeah, I can't say a whole lot right now, so we'll just go in and sing and thank you guys, really. You don't know how important it is to be here. So if you guys want to stand, let's stand and sing. I'm glad Jeff has put this song back in the repertoire because I love this song, Blameless.
Songs of salvation. for me. I'm a child that your name's free. Nothing will separate us. I'm held by you. I'm blameless. You call me.
Savior, gently to
Yes, every broken piece was mended by the hand, the hell, the scars.
Next song, I was thinking coming up here, I said, man, I feel like I need to sing this song. And got up here, Jeff said, why don't we do this song? Well, it was the same song. So, and it's a song about hope. And, you know, we don't sorrow as others don't have this hope.
Truly our hope is in Jesus. And as Pastor said, when we go through these times, we sorrow, and the word says that we sorrow with those that sorrow, and we rejoice with those that rejoice, because we are one body, and when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And so we do that, but yet even in the face of that, we have that peace that passes understanding, that comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, that holds us and keeps us in the midst of that, that we can rejoice even in the face of sorrow, yet we can rejoice because we know that our loved ones are rejoicing. They are, and they wouldn't come back, you know, and we wouldn't want them to. We don't want them to go. We don't want to ever have to give them up. But there comes a time when every one of us will meet our Lord and Savior face to face. And that's a time of rejoicing. You know, he doesn't send somebody else. I don't believe that. I believe he comes for us. I believe he's there with outstretched arms. And that gives us hope and that gives us joy, knowing where our loved ones are and that they're rejoicing. So we rejoice in that aspect this morning, even as we pray comfort and peace. We love you all.
Y'all notice I don't have a notebook today. We had been talking before. I had to go back and look at the title, The Torah and the Law of God. We'll get back on that, but obviously I just couldn't go there. But so I figured I would just share with you. You know, because in these times, really, I think you get... tested really. What do you believe? It's really, because I've seen people, you know, supposedly have strong faith and put them in a storm, man, and they melt. And, you know, I knew the Lord had laid this on my mind a few weeks ago, rest. You know, the Lord, when he's giving you a lesson, he does it in such a way, I don't know if you realize, but all of y'all are in some lesson. All things work together for good. He's teaching you something. And I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times we don't even know what class we're in. Now imagine, I mean, these ladies over here, they're in high school and, you know, they go to class and they'll know, okay, at 11 I got English. And, you know, at 2 I got math or whatever. So you know what class you're in, you bring the appropriate books or whatever. Most of the time we go through life, we have no idea what class we're in. You know? I mean, honestly, you have no idea what class you're in. Well, you know, if you'll study and pay attention, the Lord will tell you what class you're in. We're in rest. And what he does is he brings you through this stuff. It's not like a notebook and take notes. You live it. And then he brings you through it, and then you know it, and then you go on to another lesson, whatever that lesson is. So I was taking rest. And, you know, I go and I read all the scriptures. You know, we'll read them again here in a few minutes, you know, in Hebrews 4. Rest. Okay, I got it. I got it. I'm telling you what, I've never been more mad this week in all my life. And I'm, you know, I'm driving back and forth, and I'm tired, and I'm mad at the nurses down there, and I'm mad at the doctors. I'm just mad, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're going to teach me rest. So what you need to do is get another nurse. You need to get another doctor. You need to heal mom. You know, all this other. You want me to have rest, and you need to start. We did not do none of the above. So, I'm frustrated, and I'm just angry. And one of the times there, Tracy had mentioned one time, she said, you know, wouldn't it be horrible to not be able to communicate? And when you're on a ventilator, you got all this hose running down your throat. It's pitiful. You're sitting there with a hose running down your throat, tubes in your nose, both arms full of IVs. They got two trees of stuff hanging there.
stuff all around you. I mean, beep, beep, boom, bleep, you know, just going off. It's frustrating. I thought, well, because you're just guessing in communication. So I took my yellow notepad and I wrote the alphabet on it, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I thought, well, maybe Mom can point. Because I felt like Mom wanted to say something to me. And I'm like, if these are her last words, I want to know what they are. So I go there and I start, you know, I get there to the hospital and I'm ready. Okay, Mom, you know, okay, here we go. And Mom's starting to point. They tell me to stop it. Oh, my God, dog, I'm talking to my mommy. You don't tell me to stop it. No, you're getting her upset. We want her to rest. You know, so I'm like, I'm a little ticked off here. Oh, you wait till y'all leave. Well, and Mom had kind of, she understood what was going on, bless her heart. So every now and then her feet would start wiggling and her hands would start going, and that meant get me the notepad. So her baby brother was in there, Donnie, and Mom's like, this, get the notepad. Okay, we get the notepad. Here we go. She points to the C. Okay, C. I'm thinking it's going to be some very deep spiritual thing. Then she points to an O. Okay, C-O, what could this mean? I'm thinking in my mind, C-O, you know, what Bible verses, C-O, I don't know, Colossians maybe. L, okay, I'm on it. And Donnie, her brother, said, are you cold? Yeah. I thought it was going to be some deep, get her a blanket, she's freezing, she can't communicate. But we had established communication. So then she would tell me, pain. Okay, call the nurse. Because, you know, she can't do nothing. It's not like you can call the nurse and say, I'm in pain or whatever. So you could spell it out. I could call the nurse. Mommy said pain. So then she got the notepad, and her finger was just going like this, and she said S. Okay, S. T. And she just keeps pointing it. A. Y. Stay. And, you know, look at you with them big old blue eyes, you know, and you're just, what are you going to do? Stay. And so you're kind of, you know, then you have to leave. And I'm like, well, I have to stay. Well, no, you have to leave. Well, Mommy said stay. Well, Mommy's not the boss. Mommy's always the boss. Yeah, you understand? So, and, you know, and then I'd get in the car and I'd drive back home and I'm thinking, and I would be reminded of rest, and I'm thinking, where is rest? Because this ain't working out. I'm reading this scripture and it ain't working out. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. It don't want me, you know, just, there's no rest here. And then they finally took her off the ventilator, and she's on the BiPAP machine, and that thing is up full blast. Sounds like a tornado blowing in there. You know, you can't eat, you can't do nothing. Well, they still got the feeding tube in her nose, but we had a little bit more communication. But I'm telling you, and I'm just sharing this stuff with you. I mean, I really believe that Jacob blessed his children and put his feet up in the bed, and I think that's the way. I really do. I mean, I just, and what we got to witness was an amazing thing, but I'm telling you, there was somebody else in that room, because Mom would be pointing at him and talking to him. And one time she introduced herself, and I'm going to tell you what I witnessed. I witnessed the gentleness of the Lord. And what I mean is, he didn't go and snatch Mommy away. He gave Mommy a few days to prepare. He really and truly did. Because I know there was an introduction. Now, I know that introductions aren't necessary from his side. But Mommy's having a conversation with somebody. I'm watching her. And she's pointing to herself saying, I'm Pat. I'm Pat. And she's talking to somebody like, you know, I'm here for Pat. Are you? What's, I'm Pat. You know, like, it's me. You found me. It's me. And you witness these things. And, you know, it's great strength. And you know, this goes on over days. And Mommy would tell me, she would say, he's standing behind you. Be careful. Be careful. Don't turn around. You'll fall. You know, I never argue when they're in that place because Mommy would, she would wake up and she would say, I'm falling. Get to bed. Get a hold of the bed. Get a hold of the bed. And I'd grab a hold of the bed and she would say, he's under the bed. He's under the bed. I would get down to the floor. And at one time she told me, call the judge. Call the judge. And, you know, a lot of things are going off, you know. And she told me, she said, do you see it? And, you know, you just say, yeah, Mommy, you don't really see nothing. She said, well, buy it. I said, buy it. She said, buy it. Buy it now. Go buy it. And to me, you know, I'm always thinking in scriptures and stuff. And I'm like, gold tried in the fire. Faith, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And then she would tell us, she just started singing, sunshine, sunshine, you are my sunshine. And then she'd look at you. Now, you got to understand, she got the BiPAP, you got to get right up there close. And, you know, you kind of learn how, and she would say, sing it. You are my sunshine, sing it. And so you try to sing it. And Tracy, I didn't know Tracy recorded it. I sent that so you guys could see that. I didn't know she recorded it. She recorded one of the better versions because let me tell you something. The first three or four was pretty choppy. We couldn't get the words out, you know. You are my sunshine. And then, well, to pieces we'd go. And she would look like almost frustrated, like, sing it. Like, what are y'all crying about? Sing it. I want to hear the song. Sing it. Sing it again. And that, you know, that's why I said, Mommy, you're kind of bossy here. You know, just sing it again. And these are precious times, you know. And the doctor, you know, we were watching because you get, and I'm just sharing this stuff with you. Maybe you've been there, maybe not. I don't know. But I know during these times, you know, all my hope is in Jesus. And we have hope because he takes care of everyone in the room. We forget about that. You just think he's there. But I'm telling you, he's in the room and he's ministering to everyone all at the same time. And it's a precious thing. And we were, you know, the doctor had told us things are shutting down, shutting down. Shutting down. And, you know, you try to prepare for these things, but you can't. It's like you can't prepare for somebody to kick you in the stomach. you can't. But you're thinking, you know, and you're like, well, what are your options? Well, we're going to, you know, we'll have to make her comfortable. That's the terminology they use, make her comfortable. Well, you don't want to do that because, you know, you're thinking in your mind, and I'm just being honest with you, like we're putting somebody to sleep. You know, it's like a dog. We're going to put him to sleep. You know, who wants to do that? You don't want to do that. And you're like, God, I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But you know the time is knocking on the door, and it's, you know, you're looking at the monitor, and then all of a sudden their blood pressure just, it just plummets. She's on the blood pressure medicine to keep it up, but it ain't working. And you watch the heart rate go down. And Mommy, she says, no more. I was like, what do you mean, Mommy? No more. She said, no more. And I'll tell you exactly what she said. She said, let me die. Let me die. And that's tough. It's tough. And I thought, my God, what a warrior this woman was, Jean. She knew it was time for her to go. But she knew what was keeping her there was us holding on. And she tells us, let me go. Now, she done been introduced to this other man. I'm going to tell you who this man was, Jesus. A few days ago, when she was ready and he had been preparing her, and Mom had to prepare us. She said, let me go, let me die. And we sung that song one more time, You Are My Sunshine. And then we all got to go up and say our farewells. And she was cognizant for everyone in the room. Now think about that. I mean, this is great victory here. People would say, how sad. We witnessed and participated in a mighty warrior's victory here. And it's sad and heartbreaking and exhilarating and all of this stuff at the same time. I can't explain it. And people who wasn't there and people think, oh, what a tragedy. Well, I knew when they took that BiPAP off, which they were going to take it off because it was prolonged, and they took it off and put a cannula in. And when they did that, it was just 2 or 3 minutes, and that was it. And, you know, you watch them take their last breath, and, you know, they heard us singing in the hospital, You Are My Sunshine, and the nurse is there, and she's crying, and everybody's crying, and, you know, what a terrible and wonderful time. Terrible and wonderful. I mean, and you can't, you know, you go through all of this stuff in your mind, and, you know, on the way home, you know, I'm thinking, rest. Rest, these words don't leave me. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a way. He's so gentle, so kind. I was telling Tracy Friday night. Now, this guy has been dead for years. His name was Brother Oscar Lee Pruitt. You remember Brother Oscar Lee? Brother Oscar Lee Pruitt came to me in a dream. Now, you can say what you want. He visited me in a dream. And I'm telling you what, Brother Oscar Lee Pruitt honestly always was intimidating. I was a very young man, and he was very stern. He wasn't the kind of guy that a young boy wanted to hang around with. He's almost like a principal. You know, what 7-year-old wants to hang out with a principal? You don't want to hang out with a principal. He's scary. He might bust your butt. Brother Oscar Lee, of all people, if I could have picked 1,000 people to visit me in my dream, Brother Oscar Lee Pruitt wouldn't have been one of them. You know what I mean? It's strange how the Lord works these things. And Brother Oscar Lee Pruitt came to me in a dream. And he was so young and so jovial and so pleasant to be around and so drawing. And he had a smile that went from ear to ear. And he was so gentle with me. And he said, you're going to preach your mommy's funeral. And I just thought, why did he come and tell me this? You know, I don't know. I'm just sharing these things with you. So I knew Saturday was it. And I'm telling you, the Lord just has a way of bringing you around into these things. Rest. And I want to tell you something. I want to read you this verse. Because we hear a lot of these things, you know, and I'm sharing, you know, the video with people and, you know, other people outside of the church and work people. And, you know, people always come up with things. And, you know the stories. Mom gained her wings. You know, they try to soothe you with this stupid stuff. I mean, if I read in the Bible Moses died, but the Bible says Moses got his wings, I would say that's a legitimate thing. But it doesn't say that. Moses died. Joshua, it's time for you. Lazarus is dead. I mean, the Bible tells us that. But you see, we don't like words like that. But until we face words like that, we can have no joy in resurrection and hope and understanding what has taken place. And they'll say, well, mommy's at peace. Mommy's at rest. And I go back, and it made me relook at this verse again. And I'm in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, if that rest is laying in a casket. The first part of that verse says, labor to enter. So you're telling me to hurry up and get myself in a casket? But that's the way that everybody preaches it. And they'll say, oh, this is the best rest ever. And I'm to labor, enter in. Well, we just, well, all go drink strychnine or something and hurry up and get ourselves, and we can obey the scriptures and enter into the rest. Listen, mommy don't need rest. Mommy don't need rest. Mommy's in the presence of life. Do you understand that? Mommy's body is dead. Mommy's body is dead. But mommy's spirit is joined to the Lord's spirit. And she is in the very presence of the Lord as we speak. And she don't need rest. Who needs rest? Me and the family. We're the ones needs the rest. We're the ones need peace. Am I right? Mommy don't need peace. She's got peace. She don't need it. You know? And I think these verses, these things are given for us. That's why we sorrow not as others that have no hope. We've got a hope. And my hope is, and people's like, boy, when the resurrection already started. It started on the third day when Jesus got up. That began something. That began something. Jesus is that resurrection. And, you know, I will see mommy again. And y'all will see mommy again, and she won't have no tubes in her nose, and her arms won't be all bruised up where the IVs have blown out, and her arms look like you beat her to death. Her hands will swell up that big, look like balloons. None of that nonsense anymore. That, you look at that, and we must face that. That is a result of the fall of man who brought us all under that curse of death. But Jesus destroyed that, and he got up. And he got up. So it's, you know, you can go in and you say you can go into that warrior's death. And mom, I don't know how you want to say it, crossed over. I'm okay with that. She's in the presence of the Lord. I absolutely know that. I can never use the term, and I'm very careful, I can never use the term, we lost mommy today. Well, that's stupid. You know, when I lost my ink pen, and we're down there trying to find the ink pen, it might have rolled under the fridge. I don't know. We lost it. That's when you lose something, you don't know where it's at. I know exactly where mommy's at. I know where her body's going to be at. Her body will be at Green Hills. But mommy, the person, is joined to the Lord in the very presence of God. I mean, what a hope. I mean, this... And you know, when you think about that, when you really get down, all the other stuff that we cry and moan about is why? Because we miss them. We miss them. I guarantee you this, mommy would rather have me where she's at than come back where I'm at. You know? Mommy wouldn't say, well, I'm going to come back. She might say, I'm going to come back and get you. But we ain't staying where you are. We're bringing you where I'm at. Now that's our hope. Labor therefore to enter into that rest. And I'm going to tell you what. Rest has a name, and his name is Jesus. It's not a thing, it's a person. It's who he is. And I go back and I'm looking. You know, we've went over these verses the other day. You know, while it's called today, I think, where did that come from? Today. You know where that comes from? That goes all the way back to Exodus and the manna. And he said, today will be a Sabbath for you. And what is a Sabbath? It's a rest. Now, I got to ask you the question. You know this. Do you gather manna on the Sabbath? You don't gather manna on the Sabbath. Why? Because you done gathered up enough on the other days. So, and he goes through this whole thing. I mean, they're in the wilderness. While it's called today, there's a rest. And you know, they're doing everything they can. I'm telling you, when Jesus got up, he carried us all into the very bosom of the Father. The problem is, we don't know it. We don't know it. We don't know where we are. We don't know who he is. But he said there's a rest. Now labor to enter into that rest. And I'm just looking around. I'm like, labor? This doesn't sound good. But I'm telling you what. This is why people don't enter into the rest and why people don't have no rest, because there's some work here that's involved. And who wants to have work? I want magic dust. Just give me the magic dust and I'll have the rest. But what if, you know what we had talked about two or three weeks ago, the art of thinking. Don't let the book of this law depart from thy mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And you'll have what? Success. You'll be prosperous. Prosperous into what? Peace. Rest. I mean, we can talk about being in Christ and Christ in me all day long. And it is all true. But how does that work out in your daily life? Because these daily lives will find you out. And they will strip down everything there is. And I'm telling you, when you go through these things, and you guys know, you've been there, you're raw, you're wounded. How do you function when you're raw and when you're wounded? And everything is telling you that everything in the Bible is a lie. And this would be a great time, as me and Gene were talking, to be mad at God and think, well, God took my mommy. And what kind of nonsense is that? She received. That's what Jesus said. Into thy hands I commit. Receive my spirit. Jesus received her. He didn't come and snatch her. I mean, these things are subtle, but they mean the world to me because it's so different. Because now I know that Jesus ain't coming and killing kids and robbing parents from their robbing kids from their parents untimely. It's not. We live in a fallen world, and devastating and tragic things happen. Now, how do we deal with it? Jesus. That's how we deal with it. He gives us this whole thing and all of this stuff so that we can get through these things. And that's why I just, to me, I've got to be transparent. You know, I don't want to come and I don't want you to think for a minute, oh, he's cold and he's callous and he's all of that stuff. No, I mean, I'm an open book. You know, I was telling the guy this morning, I'm on display. You know, and I have to be on display. So I can't run and hide in a corner. How do I get through this stuff? Yesterday, when I would be breaking down, I would go to the window and I would say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. And I would go back and maybe I had one little ounce of his strength. And you know what? It would just spill out. Go back to the window. Go, the Lord is my strength. I said that 1,000 times yesterday. Some people might say, oh, man, he's strong. If I was strong, the Lord wouldn't be my strength. I wouldn't need it. I'd do it on my own. I didn't do it on my own. Hey, I'm not stupid enough to try it on my own. The Lord is my strength. And you might think, well, you got to get some other verses. I didn't need another verse. That was it. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. All day, all week, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Driving home. I'm frustrated and angry. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. How do you get through this? The Lord is my strength. That's how you get through it. The Lord is my strength over and over and over. And I'm wounded. And you know what? Who likes to be wounded? And this is a time when you can, and a lot of people like, oh, you know, feel sorry for me. You know, you can go that route, and people do. But you know what, I just think a bruised reed. You know, I mean, these things come in my mind. Now I'm wounded. And I'm going to tell you what, y'all may be good at feeling sorry for somebody, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want y'all feeling sorry for me. I'm in the hands of the Lord. He's the only one that can heal me. And he's the balm of Gilead. I'm just telling you. Now, he may use you through comforting words, but I recognize the source. If that makes sense to you. Because we encourage, and I know that he's in you, but I know any ministering you do to me, you're not smart enough, and I'm not smart enough. It's him. So if I want to be healed, I need to go around where he's at, and that's his people. So I said, yeah, I want to meet out. I'm gonna go get you a verse here. Philippians. Now, we were here a couple of weeks ago, too. Isn't it amazing how you always get drawn back to these things? I told you, we're always at class. You're a class. What class are you in? Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what is going to keep your heart and minds? Through Christ Jesus, the peace of God, which passes understanding, is going to keep your hearts and minds. It's going to keep your hearts and minds. Because when all this stuff, it would be easy for your heart and mind to slip away into chaos and unrest and all of these other things that people go through in the world and toss to and fro and just bounce around and. But then he says these things, and I'm going to give you this verse which we went through, but then I'm going to give you the next verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But the next verse, listen to this. Now here comes the labor. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, that you've seen them in me, he says, do. Then he goes back, and the peace of God shall be with you. So he says there's a peace of God that passes understanding. It'll keep your hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, think on these things. And then he says, these things that you've seen and heard in me, these things do, and the peace of God shall be with you. So there's the peace of God that shall be with you. What's it dependent upon? Me doing these things. Now, you go look that word up. You see that word? Do right there. You know what that word is? Practice. And you can look it up. It's the Greek word practice. Paul says practice these things. Now what do you do with practice? You do it over and you do it over and you do it over again. And you do it over again. And then you do it again. I mean, I guarantee you, we talk about this a lot. I guarantee you there'll be a lot of NFL football games on today. And these people have been practicing all week. And you know what they do? They practice situational football. Okay, you're down by a four. There's 38 seconds left on the clock. Ball's on the 40-yard line. It's third down. What do? Boom, you practice, you practice, you practice. Well, you can't practice for people dying and things like that. He's not talking about that, but he says if you'll do these things and practice these things, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts. And when you're in the situation where here we are and you know tomorrow your mommy, that's it, it's over, you'll be able to get through it and you won't be broken to pieces and dashed by it. Does that make sense? And people will look at you and they'll think, oh man, he's either callous or he's cold or you practice because I know who my peace is. I know who my rest is. And 1,000 times a day I may have to say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my rest. Over and over. Over and over and over. And when I'm frustrated and I'm driving home and I want a new nurse, somebody who's going to let me have my way. But it didn't work out. Then I began to understand. And then in the middle of that, I see others beginning to crumble. You know what I mean? Beginning to crumble. And there you stand, and the peace of God shall keep you. The peace of God that passes understanding. The rest of God. And, when you get to that point, you know what actually happens? You can actually, in these moments, you can rejoice in the great victory that you just witnessed. And you can let go. I mean, I know mommy looking at me in my eyes. No more. Let me die. And I told them all, man, what a warrior. What a warrior for your mom to look at you. Let me die and sing You Are My Sunshine one more time. I mean, these are mighty things, guys. These are mighty things. Only things really that's been on my mind all week. Back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth. And I'm going to tell you that word rest. And I got this picture. It means to abide. But it gives you the picture of a bird nestling down in her nest. And you know when the bird nestles down in her nest, they usually do it at night. But they'll do it in the day when they're setting on the eggs. This is not brooding. I'm not trying to hatch nothing. The little chicklets are already hatched. They're in the nest, and they're just nestled in the nest, and they're not going anywhere. And that's what the Lord has told us to do. Nestle down. Be secure in me. Everything about this world will want to come at you with storms, and you'll think the boat's sinking. And the water's coming in, and everybody will be challenging you and saying all of this crazy stuff. But I'm telling you, stay right here. And it's a struggle to stay right there. And how you stay right there is right here. Now, how do you keep that right here? Practice these things. Meditate. Say this out loud. Say it out loud. Say it out loud so that you hear it. And I just get this picture of Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. And all week I bailed water. You know, all week I bailed water. And I fussed at the Lord a few times, Gene. Don't you care? Mommy's supposed to get better. Don't you care that we perish? What the heck are you doing sleeping? And you know what we do? We just go crawl back there with him because he said, I told you we're going to the other side. And everything may be against that. But Jesus rested. And there is a rest left under the people of God. He starts that whole passage off. Consider him. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. You want to go into rest? Consider him the apostle and high priest of our confession. Yeah, rest. There is a rest. I know there'll be ups and downs, lots of emotions. And that's all right. It's all right. But I just wanted to share that with you. And get ready and do our communion because these things mean something so special to me when you really think about what we'll be doing. Partaking of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know people, I mean, my God, he was in that room. I mean, his presence was in that room. Mommy was talking to him and she saw him. And I know he's in me and I know he's in you and we're in him. But there comes times when it's just different. When it's just different. Anyway, let me quit with that. Morgan, you can shut us off.